Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, we're going to begin at verse 1. But first I'd like to speak to my listeners for a little bit. I'm not one to beg for money. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in presenting that kind of a message that if we can't raise such and such an amount by a certain date, we're going to go off the air. I simply don't believe that way. As a matter of fact, this program here on WSHO is paid for entirely and in full out of my own pocket. If you'd asked me a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to afford it, but God gave me a job about 9 months ago that more than pays my bills, more than takes care of everything that I need. And I pay the program bills out of my own pocket, like I said. So I'm not going to ask for money in some kind of dire need or circumstance or, oh no, you have to give, and put some kind of guilt trip on you. From time to time I will ask if I have a specific need. For instance, you know that I do missions work down in Haiti. And from time to time I may present to you that we have a specific need for a specific mission, say a missions trip or there's an orphanage that needs taken care of or something. I may present a specific need. But other than that, I'm not going to get on this program and beg for money. But one thing that I will beg for, one thing that I will plead and beseech that you do for me, I need prayer. This ministry needs prayer. I believe that I'm doing fairly okay, but I also believe that God would have us to reach souls. I believe that God would have us to reach wayward Christians. I believe that God would have us to do the work of the ministry. And like Paul said in Ephesians, I believe it was chapter 6, he said that he talked about the spiritual, not the gifts of the Spirit, but the armor of God. And he said, you've got the shield of faith, you got the sword of the Spirit. But then he said at the end, and you need to pray. And by the way, while you're at it, pray for me. Pray for me that utterance might be given unto me. So I covet your prayers. If you've been listening to me and you like what you hear, then pray that God would help me to preach. Pray that God would show me what to preach. Pray that God would give me the power to somehow bring a message to those that need to hear it. And again, I thank you. I thank you for your support. And again, we're not talking finances. I'm not asking for money, but I am asking for your prayer. So thank you very much. Now, John chapter 14, we're going to begin at verse 1. We're going to go to verse 4. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, and the way you know." Now, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I believe that you have given me a message today. I believe that you've given me a word from heaven, and I'm asking for your help to be able to preach it. Lord, speak to those that are listening, and again, my prayer is always that they would see Jesus Christ, that you take the word that's being preached and do something in their hearts, that they would be persuaded to follow Jesus in this way. And Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now we're continuing our series on false teaching and false prophecy and false prophets. And if I can say another thing that you could pray for me, please, is my health. I've still got the flu. I'm up and down with it. That's why my voice sounds terrible. But as I said, I've preached this passage here several times, many times. I've preached it on the radio before. I've taught it in churches, taught it in churches, should I say. These three chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John, Jesus, again, right before he is crucified, right before he's betrayed and crucified, and right after verse 13, where he washes the disciples' feet, he takes three chapters and gives an in-depth teaching about the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to touch on that today. I want to look at these verses I just read. And really the title or the subject of this message is date setting and the error of trying to set dates for the return of Christ. It's unfortunately a very popular thing for false prophets to do. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back one day to this earth. I believe in the rapture. I believe he's going to collect his church first. Then there'll be the great tribulation for 7 years. Then he comes back to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And then after the 1,000 years, then the earth will be remade and we'll live forever with him. And probably at some point we'll do a teaching on the end times. But what I'd like to focus on is the fact that Jesus is coming back. Jesus will return. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to when Jesus Christ comes back. But those that are not saved, I believe that there's a lot of apple carts that Jesus will upset when he comes back. The world is not looking for him. The world does not want him. They want life to go on the way that it's going on now. They want the status quo. They want God out of their lives. They're not interested. But one day Jesus Christ is coming back, and he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron, it says. He's going to set up his kingdom, and there's going to be righteousness. No more drug dealing, no more crooked politicians, not going to have a need for war, not going to have a need for a lot of things that go on down here, because he will be here, and he is the king, and his kingdom will be a wonderful place to be. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this passage, I guess, starts at verse 49 and goes through verse 47. And I'm not going to read all of it, but let's start here at verse 51. And Paul is speaking to the church, and he's giving this same message of hope. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptibly, and we shall be changed. We're going to get our new bodies, it says. I'm happy. I'm happy to say that the Bible talks about a lot of things. There was the Sermon on the Mount. There was the giving of the law that Moses gave. We can read about John's baptism. We can read about tithing. We can read about a lot of things. And all of those things are biblical. All of those things we should follow. But there's another message that the Bible gives, that Jesus will return. Jesus is coming again. And when that day comes, it's going to be a wonderful day. I hadn't planned to, but let's see if we can skip over to Isaiah. Here it is, Isaiah chapter 11. Let's start at verse 5, and we'll pick up, the previous theme. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. And again, it's talking about Jesus. And faithfulness the girdle of his reins. But look at this. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp or the snake, and the weaned shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be the full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That's going to be a wonderful time. That's going to be a glorious time. We have a lot of trouble in this world. You pick up the newspaper, you look at the at CNN or Fox News, you see that every day there's trouble. Every day there's a famine or a flood or a war or some great accident or some dictator's trying to take over another country or something. There's always something going on. But one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he will set up his kingdom. He's going to stop all war. He's going to stop all hunger. And I think that this is talking about the remade earth after God remakes the heaven and the earth. But still, this is a future time. And I don't want to get bogged down in the specifics of exactly what comes when. We might do that in another time. But the fact is, Jesus will come back. And all of the things that are told that are going to happen afterwards, they'll start to transpire after Jesus comes back. And that is what I'd like to talk about. Jesus is coming back. He will come back. And if you didn't hear me, Jesus is coming back. You better get ready. For the Christian, he's happy that the Lord's coming back. Well, for the sinner, maybe not so happy. But I'd like to turn to First Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, the message is, and Paul's talking again. We read 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, a very familiar passage. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now notice that. He's saying that God told us to say what we're saying now, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now look at this next verse. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We said last week that when you're prophesying, that it's supposed to be for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. And Paul says right here, I'm prophesying, I'm telling you the future, that Jesus will come back. And here, this is supposed to comfort you. And to me, I'm glad. I struggle with a lot of things. Take today, I'm still a little bit sick. I struggle with a lot of things in life, and so do you. So does everyone. But the Christian's burdens are going to be laid aside. It's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be a glorious time when Jesus Christ comes back. And I want everyone listening to me to know that I believe that, and the Bible teaches, and that you need to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. That is a fundamental message of the New Testament, and really the Old Testament, that Jesus Christ is coming back. He came the first time to save. The second time he comes, it'll be to set up his kingdom and to rule. Now, that's a wonderful message. I'm thrilled to be able to teach this wonderful message that Jesus Christ is coming back. You see, all through the church age, when this message was preached, yes, it's a comforting thing that Jesus is coming back, but it's also a warning. You can read the book of Joel. The book of Joel is basically a warning, and he talks about a lot of things, but there's a warning that the end will come. The end will come. That, and I understand the Great Tribulation, and I don't want to get into the little details, but he said that the end of the world will come. For me, I'm glad. I'm happy. My Lord and Savior will come back for me. But those that do not follow God, those that walk in rebellion, they're not looking for him, but he's coming back anyway. And that will be a dreadful day. For me, a glorious day. But when Jesus comes, the wicked are not going to be happy. The politicians are not going to be happy. Those that steal are not going to be happy. Those that practice evil are not going to be happy. And the book of Joel is a warning that the end is coming and that the sinner needs to get right with God. But In our study, we're talking about false teachers. False teachers. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We can start, and this whole chapter, and he Jesus talks about the end times, and he talks in several of the Gospels. He has essentially the same message that you need to be careful because the end of the world is coming. I will come to set up my kingdom. But let's look in, again, we're in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Now, I believe that he's telling us right here that we're, yes, Jesus is coming back. Yes, the end of the world will happen. If you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be a lot of signs in the heaven. The moon's going to turn into blood. There's a lot of war that's going to happen here, much more than anything we've ever seen. I believe that there will be definite things that will happen. But Jesus is saying right here, and we know that Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Godhood. We know that he is God, but he did not know the day that he would return. The angels don't know it. I don't know it. You don't know it. Some other preacher on the radio doesn't know it. Only God the Father knows when Jesus will return. But funny that we read the words of Jesus specifically saying, don't try to predict when he's coming, but too often men do. Now, verse 37, well, tell you what, I won't even get into that. I'll just say that the message of the return of the Lord is a warning, and you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared because Jesus might come back tomorrow. He might come back this afternoon. He might come back 300 years from now and all of us be dead, gone, and forgotten. We don't know when Jesus will return, but he will return. But again, there's a problem with attempting to set the date. You can't set it. I don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when it's going to be. Even Jesus doesn't know when it's going to be. Only the Father knows, and when he decides, then the end will occur. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and this is an interesting passage, and I'd like to say too often when I try to read one thing in the Word of God, so many other things jump out at me. There's probably four or five themes right here in these first, I guess maybe, in, let's say the first 11 verses, there's probably four or five themes, and I'm happy that God gives us understanding. And I'd love to preach on all of these themes. We've got John the Baptist being referred to. We've got the Holy Spirit baptism. We've got a number of different things. We've got the power in verse 8 that's going to come, that we're going to be witnesses to the whole earth. Those are wonderful things. Let's look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, they had a mindset that Israel was the chosen people, and that's correct. They were right on that point, and they were also right that one day that Israel would be brought again to prominence, but they did not understand exactly all the different things that would have to happen. They didn't understand the church age where the Gentiles would come in, but they were saying, Lord, when is this going to happen? In verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father put in his own power, which is exactly what we just read a minute ago in Matthew chapter 24, that it's the Father's business to know exactly when the end would come. And it's not our business. It is not for you to know the times nor the season, which the Father has put in his own power. Now, you can go back to the Gospels, and he gives the parable of the fig tree. He gives a number of different parables. He says you can look at the sky and know if it's going to rain tomorrow. You can know the signs of the times. I believe that we're exhorted to be watching and waiting and looking for his return. And I believe that we can look and see. Well, if you again, if you read the newspaper, you know that something's going to happen. Something is going to happen to this world. We know that it can't last much longer. Again, I don't know when. You don't know when. But he says it's not our business to know when. Now let's skip to verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So, again, there's that promise. Jesus is coming back. We know that the Lord will return. But don't, he's saying, the angel said, don't just stand in heaven and wait. Yes, he's coming back, and you need to look once in a while to make sure. But we have a job to do here, and that's to preach the gospel. But like I said, too many times, far too many times, men take it upon themselves to in their mind, they'll reason, well, I think I know when the end's going to come. They'll say, well, I've read in the book of Daniel, perhaps, and I see something, and I know that that on such and such a date that Jesus will come back. On such and such a date, the rapture will occur, or supposedly during the tribulation, there are going to be atomic bombs. Well, on such and such a date, I know that the atomic bombs are going to begin to fall, or thus and so. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses were experts at date setting. In 1847, the Jehovah's Witnesses said that Jesus would return, or the end would occur. In 1878, the end would occur. 1881, the end would occur. 1910, they said that the end would occur. 1914, Jesus is going to come back. 1918, the end will occur. 1925. 1975, and last but not least, I'm sure they're going to do it again, in 1984, the Jehovah's Witnesses prophesied that the end times would occur. Now, we know that that didn't happen. We know that they're wrong. We know that they're a cult. We know that nothing that they say is correct. They have their own Bible, in fact. They don't even read the Bible you and I read. They read something else. Here's another one for you. A man named Edgar C. Wisenot, or as I like to call him, Wisdom Knot. He wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur in 1988. And he listed them, 88 reasons why he thought that the rapture would occur. I don't know, how long was that? Man, almost 20 years ago. He was wrong. Now, what bothers me about this, yes, he was wrong. There was a couple of things that bother me. One of which, his 88 reasons, they weren't just, oh, over here in the book of Psalms and over here in the book of Ezekiel, I think, you know, this says that and therefore this is going to happen. Some of his reasons weren't even from the Bible. They weren't even from Christians. Some of his reasons were from various things such as psychics and atheists. And I don't know what was in his head that he would go ahead and make these stupid statements and quote people that hated God. But he did, and he was wrong. Now, and I don't really want to get into this too much. There's another man that likes to quote atheists and psychics and whatever when he writes books. It's Rick Warren. If you read The Purpose-Driven Life, if you read it carefully, you look at the footnotes, you find a lot of the things he says. He's quoting people that do not even believe that God exists. And I would have other criticisms of his books, but I believe that this is a giant red flag. Another thing that bothers me, even more than quoting psychics, is the fact that when Edgar C. Wisdom Knot wrote his book and said 88 reasons why the rapture will occur in 1988, in 1987, nobody knew about him. In 1988, he came out with his book, and the entire church world, they were all afraid. They were all afraid that maybe he was right. And most of the denominations that you or I could name, the Assemblies of God, the Southern Baptists, the Church of God, most of the denominations that we know of, They all put their seal of approval on what he said. They all said, yes, we believe the rapture will occur in 1988. And that bothers me. The Bible says that there's a falling away that will come, that day would not come unless there be a falling away. I believe too often we've forgotten what thus saith the Lord is. We've forgotten how to study the Word of God and to know what it says. Too often we've turned our itching ears to anyone that has a good message, and I believe it should stop. We need to go to the Bible. If you hear something on the radio, you hear somebody that wrote something in a book, you should go to the Bible, like the Bereans, and make sure that what they say is the truth. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.